This is
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Celebrity guest.
Celebrity guest.
I have it from a credible source that our guest, I quote, is not friends with time. So I'm thrilled that she made it here almost on time and that she even has a gap to spend time with us today. She's been doing a lot of traveling, being in demand as a choreographer and creative director all over the world, and we'll soon be seeing her on Netflix in the Yano's love story, Yano Love. Her dance studio in Doornfontein, right here downtown Johannesburg, is a hub of talent, and I need to sign up for lessons if she'll take me as a two left-legged student. Let's give a warm welcome to Bontle Modisele Moloi, a.k.a. Chomi, a.k.a. Bestie, a.k.a. B, a.k.a. Mamuloi, a.k.a.
Ma-Afrika.
Ma-Afrika.
That is the best intro I've ever heard.
Hello, Ma-Afrika. Tell me how you're doing.
Fantastic. How are you?
Good.
Is this the first time we sit down and talk?
I think we spoke when I was at Metro about 5 years ago.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. But five years post-COVID time, it feels like...
A lot has happened since
a
COVID.
A lot has happened since then.
It feels like another billion people have been born since COVID.
1,000%. Exactly. We've lost many as well along the way.
You became a mother.
I became a mother. Since. I got married. Great things have happened.
Tell us about Africa.
Oh, the most spectacular human being.
Mm.
And I think every parent feels that way, right?
Sure.
About their child.
Mm.
But... she really blows me away. And I think watching her grow and develop and have her own character, her own personality, her own likes and dislikes, and just seeing her be, you know, just be able to, I guess, become independent so early kind of scares me. I like it, but it scares me. If you're into star signs, she is a Scorpio, so she's super feisty.
Mm.
She is, she's very headstrong. Mm. But I like it because the world that we live in, a kind of maybe works better for a character like that.
And I think we need to encourage, especially girls, not to be afraid to speak up.
100%.
Because we are very quick to quieten girls down.
Absolutely.
And I often lament this, that a lot of girls that I grew up with that were like that are the total opposite as women.
Mm.
But as girls, they were exactly that.
Uh-huh.
But as women, they've become almost subdued.
Yeah.
They've become demure. They've become
absolutely
a good African woman.
Right.
And for me, that's
a
problem.
One who is tamed. One who is...
And for me, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And my 15-year-old, our 15-year-old, Wandi, she's 15.
Sure.
And she dances. And they are doing a dance piece that does a piece, a reference to Jesus on the cross.
Ah.
But she's also a Christian.
Uh-huh.
So she told her teacher that I'm not comfortable with that personally for me.
Ah.
I'm not saying you must change it, but I need you to know that I'm doing this, but I am not comfortable doing this.
I'm so glad you could do that.
And I said to her, I'm actually happy you did it.
Mm.
Because a lot of children just do things because that's what we're doing.
100%.
They don't speak up.
100%.
And the fact that you're 15, you're speaking up for me, I'm like, wow.
That's impressive.
You know what I mean?
That's
impressive. And that's what I want our girl children to be able to do.
Absolutely. I want that for my daughter as well. So I'm very proud of her. Of course, sometimes it's like, but I wanted to do that and I encourage it all the time. My family encourages it. I mean, I'm from a matriarch-led home.
Sure.
I've got two other sisters.
Yeah.
So we're quite, I've grown to be vocal, but we're very vocal, open people. And so my mom has created a space for us to be able to really lay on the table how we really feel about certain things and make it a safe space. And so she's adopted that very early in her life and I needed her to grow up with that same, you know, chutzpah, I guess.
How is Mr. Moloi coping with all this estrogens all over the place?
Oh my God. I think he loves it. I think he loves it. I think he revels in it. I mean, in comparison to how he grew up, so his dad was a military guy, you know, so... you know, he grew up in a very militant, very...
regimented.
Very strict kind of environment. Mm. And his mom was not necessarily the most embracing until I came along because I'm super affectionate and super loving.
Mm.
And so I guess I kind of softened things and brought a little bit of balance. And I think even in him, so he's always embraced it and he's always loved it. Oh my gosh, yeah, he loves it.
Now, before we move on from Africa.
Yeah.
how, let's talk about hashtag raising Africa.
Yeah.
So looking at how Mama raised you guys, and I know Mama's going to watch this or listen to this.
Sure.
What are you going to take from Mama's book of how to raise girls? And what are you excluding?
Ooh, that's such a difficult. Mom, where's my camera? Mom, you are the perfect mother. Go to everything every Jensen skips like a chummy soulmate, mamela, oh perfect. Look, it's crazy because I hear myself already.
Yeah.
When I speak to her, when I reprimand her, when I'm kind of putting her in check,
yeah.
I hear my mother's voice. I hear her.
So Mama comes through.
Mama comes through quite strong. Quite strong. You will not doubt her. Sure. I mean, I saw my mom really do the most with very little.
Sure.
My mom was also quite an embracing person, and we grew up putting other people first in many instances. So my mom was the type of mother to, I mean, as we were growing up, my mom opened up her home to people to rent and they would stay with us, you know. So we had the kind of home that had the space that could accommodate other people. And she had such a nurturing, she had such a nurturing, hospitable energy. And so, yeah, there are times where maybe I felt like it was a little detrimental to herself.
Sure.
And she could have compromised herself in many ways. But I think more than anything, I guess as a mother who is very protective, but also one who feels like she needs to nurture and take care, I think she put that ahead of anything else. And I want to be able to do that as well.
Sure.
And I think she's applied that in many ways in her life. You know, she's a woman who is of service. She feels like she's here to serve. And no matter who you are, she treats everyone with absolute respect, you know, from a child to the elderly, no matter what you do. And so I think I've been able to do that. My mom leads with love and with kindness. She has her strict moments. But again, you know, as a God-fearing woman, but also as a as someone who embraces individuality. And, you know, my mom wants the best for us, you know. So she wants us to look amazing and to feel good. And she knows how to get the best out of all of us. So I want to be able to take all of that and instill it in her in Africa, just to, you know, to increase that chain of, I guess, kindness, beauty, and authenticity.
Hashtag raising Africa. What are you leaving out that in terms of how Mama raised you guys?
Yo! You know,
Oh yeah, that's the name of a TV show, by the way. Hashtag raising Africa. You're welcome. Anyway, carry on.
How about the 5%
there
next?
No, I love people to fly and make money, so.
I love that. Thank you.
So, yeah.
What am I leaving out?
And is Mama aware that you felt like this as you guys were being raised?
No. Okay, so it might be news to you, girl.
Yeah.
But I say this with love. We were quite conscious, very self-conscious. Yeah. But like my mom always wanted us to look amazing all the time. Lehao ya di shopong. Like you needed to look presentable.
Yeah, make sure you're wearing a clean I
think it's important.
Yeah.
I think so. But you know, my mom also, like, she's such a beauty standards type of person. So, you know, being made up and looking pretty all the time, it's very hard to keep up with that sometimes, you know. So I think I just wanna instill
so you want to relax that a bit.
I want to relax that a bit.
Yeah. If you
want to
wear onesie to buy bread.
But who cares?
Exactly.
You know? So yeah, I guess maybe less of Bazotina Bantu. Yeah, and just more of what she thinks and feels, more than what she thinks other people will think and feel.
Sure.
Yeah.
So this show is called Wow, What a Week. So we also look at things that have been happening in the week.
Sure.
And one of the big stories was the Chidima Edichena story.
Yeah.
And I think, didn't they come to your studio, Miss SA?
Yes.
To dance and everything else?
Yes. So they came to the studio, and one of their challenges, so every single week they were put to a challenge.
Yes.
And they had a dance challenge that they had to...
This was for Chasing the Crown or something?
For Chasing the Crown.
Okay.
So there's a reality show called Chasing the Crown. Yeah. And in one of the weeks, there was a dance challenge, and they came to Wintle Modisela Dance Studios along with Robot Boy. It was such a good time. It was a fun time.
Did you ever, in your wildest dreams, ever think you'd say one day, and they came to the Bontle Modisela studios?
Absolutely not.
Sounds so dope, eh?
It's so incredible. Absolutely not. I think there's so many things that have happened that are such a mind-blowing experience for me, that in hindsight, because, you know, we're in these moments, right? Yeah. We're living them in real time. And then in hindsight, it's like, yo, actually, that's not a small thing. That's not like...
At all. In the history of dance on this continent, very few people will ever be able to say what you just said.
100%.
100%. That's how big a deal it is.
It's a big deal. So I got to host the top 16 of Miss South Africa, met all of the candidates. Obviously, I mean, it was a very brief time, but developed such a beautiful personal relationship with all of them. And just to see the excitement and the resilience and the commitment, whether they were familiar with dance or not, the challenge was, how do you adapt to an environment maybe that's a little bit uncomfortable? And how does your authenticity and true self reflect within that kind of space? Does your confidence grow, or does it diminish a little bit? And how do you adapt to such challenges, you know? But because it was all in the name of fun and entertainment, it wasn't an intimidating environment, intimidating space. Neither did we take that approach. So, you know, what I saw happen with Chidima, I found quite unfortunate.
In fact, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
And I'm going to frame it like this intentionally.
Got you.
In the event that there wasn't a possible fraudulent ID story, backstory, so everything was straight, what are your thoughts on the noise that was happening around this?
I mean, the noise was a lot of opinion, right? So I don't think my thoughts and opinions on it are neither here nor there. Neither do they supersede what the law says. So I can feel whatever type of way, which, if I were to express my opinion, I have no issue with the fact that, I mean, she is South African born, or she was born in South Africa. So technically speaking, and I would imagine that even the body of Miss South Africa would have done the necessary work to make sure that everyone who's a part of it is someone that qualifies. So if the Miss South Africa body found that she qualified, and under the law, she is deemed South African, then it doesn't really matter how I feel.
Okay, so that's outside the, there might be a fake ID.
Outside of that.
Okay.
So if we didn't know about a fake ID, if there was nothing about fraud, but it was pre all of that,
absolutely.
Then, but I mean, now that we know that there's fraud involved, I mean, it's a different story altogether.
Absolutely.
But nonetheless, though, it happened, and it is what it is.
In fact, your studio is downtown Jersey.
Yes, Doornfontein.
What are your thoughts of downtown Johannesburg?
I grew up and I spent a lot of time there. I went to school.
You're a Berea girl.
Ke ngwana Berea. Yes. I went to school at Johannesburg Girls Preparatory School.
Yes.
So I walked the streets of Berea and Hillbro. So like I'm quite street smart. And so the streets of Joburg are very familiar to me. It's not I don't find it a scary place. Obviously, you know, you gotta walk and tread carefully, and you've gotta be quite vigilant. But but that was pretty much home for a very, very long time.
And then, do you feel safe downtown Jersey now?
Not with where I am now.
Your studio being downtown?
I'm moving, quite honestly. So we're moving spaces, but it's for primarily because of the people who come to the space, who are mostly children and women, security over everything. And so we want to move them to a space where they will feel safer. And they won't have to think twice about coming to downtown Jersey. I've come across way too many people who are like, but I really want to come. I really want to support you. But the location was not ideal. So even for me, loved it. I mean, at the Hallmark Hotel, 15 stories or 15 floors up the sky. It's a rooftop. The scenery is gorgeous. I mean, you look over and above Jersey and you're like, yeah, this is beautiful. But when you walk in those streets, it's a little dangerous. Nonetheless, though, we are moving spaces, and I cannot wait to open the doors again.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
So how did Macaulay House happen? let me tell you why I'm asking about Macaulay House.
Yeah.
Because the mother of my cubs went to Macaulay House.
Really?
So I think she was the first or the second black kid.
That is wild.
That was enrolled at Macaulay House in the 80s.
No way.
And she was probably the first and only black kid at Macaulay House that played Annie in the musical. So they had to make freckles on a little face. So yeah.
That is insane.
It's wild, eh?
That is wild.
So by the time you go to Macaulay House, it was more integrated.
It was very integrated.
Yeah
we had more black kids.
Absolutely.
By the time I got there.
So obviously, in the absence of Papa, yeah. Mama is doing all the moves.
Absolutely.
Mama is doing what she needs to make happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How much of your opinions were part of decisions Mama was making in terms of whether it's the schools you go to, for instance?
My mom involved us quite a bit. Yeah. I think she invited us making decisions. Obviously, hers was the final word.
Absolutely.
But I think as well, it was also circumstantial in the sense that we were scholarship kids. Mm. So we all got a scholarship and we all got the opportunity to go to really good schools.
Sure.
And so for me, the option came down to Macaulay. So I was there on scholarship. Mm. And so I think otherwise, had it not been for that scholarship, I don't know if I would have gone,
sure.
quite honestly. Also because it was a Catholic school.
Yes.
I don't think my mom minded, you know, but it's not like we're Catholic.
Yeah.
But
a convent will give direction.
But a convent will give direction.
To any girl.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think for my mom, she found quite a bit of comfort in that.
Sure.
And I didn't mind as well.
Surely it says a lot about Ma and the kind of girl she was raising.
Yeah.
That you guys kicked so much ass that schools would give you scholarships.
Because
you don't get a scholarship because we feel sorry for you.
No.
You get a scholarship because you earn it.
Yes.
Because you work hard.
Yes.
Because we know you will follow through.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of girls Mama raised.
Oh, she absolutely
How dope
did.
Is that?
That's it. You see that? I need Africa to get a whole bunch of scholarships. I need that work ethic. But I think as well, I think we were kids who were quite aware of our situation.
Mm.
And more than anything, we wanted to relieve her in as many ways as we
could. So you knew you had to come through for her?
No, we knew.
Where you could?
We knew.
Yeah.
We knew. But I think that also came from Refilwe, her being the firstborn.
Mm.
And how she stepped up in many ways. I mean, she didn't have to. But I think as a firstborn, if you have a missing parent in the home, in many ways you feel like you need to step up.
Absolutely.
And match that energy so that it doesn't feel like there's anyone missing.
Yeah.
And so because we saw that in real time with her, we felt like we needed to follow suit.
Mm.
And it was big big shoes to fill, we felt. But we've always been conscious and aware of it. And I think since then, we've always felt like we've needed to relieve Mama and to help ourselves, but relieve her as much as possible.
Mm. Falling in love young. And then staying in love.
Yeah.
And then carrying on with the relationship.
Sure.
What conversations are you having with mom about boys when you fall in love young?
It's interesting because my mom, this is so fun. My mom referred to boyfriends as a friend. So even the boyfriend term just never came out of my mom's mouth.
Hey,
chumya how you guy?
Yeah.
Friend how you guy?
Yeah.
You know? And so my mom knew. My mom also, and I love this as well. And I think this is the one thing. It's my mom found a really good balance between being a mother and a friend to us. And so that friendship part came in. Really, it came through strongly in moments where we needed to have uncomfortable conversations, whether it was conversations that had to do with menstrual hygiene or even boys and how to relate to them and relationships. And so my mom, even though she never used the term, she was open to have those conversations.
Sure.
And in many ways, my mom was also, the older we became, my mom was also very comfortable in using herself as an example. So she was open to expressing where she felt flawed, where she felt like she could have decided differently.
Sure.
And my mom also likes to give you the option of various things. And if she needs to play devil's advocate, she will. But I think she wants to exercise the ability that you have autonomy over yourself, your own body. But more than anything, do not compromise yourself in any way, shape, or form. For Mshimani.
Sure.
You know, but but I think she knew, and I think any girl child or any child kind of wants to keep it a secret, especially if you start early on. But you know, a mother can gauge, you know, there's certain things that change. Your posture changes, your style changes, how you engage with boys changes. So,
How all of a sudden anything with a reflection becomes a mirror.
Well, understand.
Because you must make sure your everything exactly. is in position.
Exactly. Now you want to change. Like, so there's so many things that you, yeah. you become very aware of and self-conscious about, you know. Mm. But again, my mom just made it a very open and a comfortable space for us to have those conversations.
So how old were you and hubby when you met?
We were 15 mm. when we met. But we met through these dance circles.
Ah, yes,
and at
yes,
the time,
yes.
he was a krampa,
sure.
Nachaiva, you know.
So, Mr. Man.
And then Mr. Man. Yeah, you yeah. know? So he was this krampa. And I was like, oh, that's fine, boy. Mm. You know, and cramping was a thing as well. Like, it was such a, like, a power, but also, like, a spiritual dance form.
Sure.
We treated it that way.
Exactly.
So, and he was one of the best
but,
in it.
But also, it comes with an attitude that you can't put on.
No, no, no.
You can't cramp no. without the attitude.
Absolutely.
Because then otherwise what
No, you can't be nice about it.
Then you are cramping, not cramping.
You are cramping. You are cramping. You know, so there was a persona, there was a character, there was an energy mm. that he had that sure. I found very attractive. And mm. I was just like, oh, okay.
Sure.
And you know, there were...
Crampela napap.
And you know, the dance community at the time is quite small. So, you
sure.
know, so conversations about who's the best, yeah. like it circles around really quickly.
Sure.
So I knew of him before I knew him personally. Mm. Mm. And then he saw me on Jiga Ma Jiga. Oh, that's what we do. And then the following week we met in person. Well, he saw me before I did. Mm. And I was at a competition and he came to the competition specifically
sure.
to come watch me. And yeah, and since then, you know, he had sent someone to come get my number. And
yo.
Since then, I'm telling you. And then he got my number. We spoke
sure.
via Mixit.
Mm.
And then we developed a really good friendship from there. And then we started dating.
Sure.
3 years later.
Mm.
Yeah.
I ordinarily wouldn't ask a married woman this question.
Sure.
But I'm also asking it because a lot of us are raising either teenagers mm. or future teens.
Ah.
What conversations were you having with him about when and if you'll possibly give it up?
Oh.
And I'll tell you, I'll also let you know why I'm asking this. For instance, with me, my first serious relationship, I was 14, she was 14.
Mm.
And when you're 14, your hormones are raging.
Of course.
So for me, I felt worried. But she was like, no, we're not.
Mm.
So for 13 months, we broke up about 8 times.
Mm.
So every time I felt like, ah, but worried,
mm-hmm.
she'd dump me. And then, so we're at boarding school.
Yeah.
And then we'd make up.
Mm.
And then 2 months later, I'm like, the hormones are hormoning.
Mm.
Like, how about baby, you are ready? And then she dumped me again.
Yeah.
So, hence I'm asking this, that it's at a time where hormones often are top of mind for a guy.
Sure.
But for a girl, your focus might be something else.
Yeah.
But you guys falling in love early
mm.
means you're going through all of that together at the same time.
Absolutely.
So what conversations are you guys having about where, when,
yeah.
and if you're going to give it up?
It took a while
mm.
For us to get into it. But also, quite interestingly enough, even if Ricardo's hormones were raging,
yeah.
raging.
Mm.
He didn't project it onto me.
Sure.
And he was quite careful to approach me and that conversation with caution.
Mm.
So he really didn't make me feel like it was something that he wanted versus
mm.
all the people that I came across in high school. And I think that's what really attracted me to him was the fact that he didn't make it the first.
He came to you differently.
He came to me differently. Mm. His approach was different.
Sure.
His timing was different.
Mm.
His respect for me was different.
Mm.
And in the dance space, you know, they use dancing as a courting thing.
Sure,
and
sure.
you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it was
the way the animal kingdom does.
Exactly.
And we're animals.
Exactly, you know?
Mm.
And I found that quite interesting.
Sure.
So I think for me off the bat, I really appreciated that.
Mm.
And obviously, like, as you keep growing and you know, we continue to have the conversations
mm.
and the more comfortable we became about having those conversations and we expressed maybe past experiences, if
sure.
we were experiences,
mm.
what our points of comfort and discomfort were.
Mm.
So we really made it an open conversation to say,
sure.
okay, this is what we like, or these are what our past experiences were
mm.
before we had our own personal experience.
Absolutely.
So I think also because we in our friendship, so in that 2-3 years, we would have conversations and we would ask each other for advice. So I had an in and he had an in on what those experiences were, you know, and you know, and we grew up with that. So then when it became a relationship between him and I, me being aware of what he had gone through and the things that I had gone through, again, we treaded lightly and respectfully to that conversation.
When you're building a relationship with someone,
sure,
with a foundation of a friendship first, the way you guys did, what are the advantages and disadvantages of having laid your heart bare before the relationship? Because sometimes you realize in hindsight that maybe I let go of too much. You know what I mean?
I'm wondering if I've ever felt that way with him. I don't think I'd ever felt like it was too much too soon.
Sure.
Well, he never made me feel that way. I think it was more of me overthinking and feeling like I did too much or I said too much. But you know when someone, again, makes you feel like they are a safe space and you're able to do that?
Absolutely.
And so not once did he ever use anything against me. Not once, even in our points of contention or disagreeing, did he ever use anything that he could have. He could have weaponized any kind of information.
Absolutely.
And he never did, you know?
And often it's one of the reasons men don't want to open up to women.
Yeah.
Or they don't want to bare their souls to women.
Yeah.
Because the fear of a lot of men is she's going to use it against him.
No. And I think I've never done that to him either. I don't see the need.
Yeah.
I don't think it's important, you know? And I think in our moments of contention or disagreeing, I'm not in a hurry to hurt you. In fact...
So you guys fight with love.
Yeah. And the thing is, our school of thought is attack the problem, not each other.
Sure.
So why are we here? How did we get here? And how do we fix it? And... yes, in our moments of introspection, you know, then, and even we'll have like really, really uncomfortable conversations. Fresh, we've been together for years.
Absolutely.
4 years.
You know each other's warts and all.
Mamela. The things that people don't want to talk about, the conversations of even other people, temptation, you know, having grown up with each other, I remember one of the first things that I said to him when I was younger was, I was like, look, if you ever grow bored of me, please let me know. And if we need to part ways, let me know. Because in my mind, I was already set on the fact that we're probably going to spend the rest of our lives together, but we're young. And I wanted to make room for him, I guess, exploring whatever it is that he wanted to explore without losing him totally and completely. So again, it's being able to have conversations like that to say, we're going to grow. We're going to grow up together. We're also going to grow at different rates. Our personalities are going to change, but we need to adapt to that change. And how do I learn to love you in the time that we're changing?
What do you say to people who say it's a bad idea to fall in love young before having experienced sowing your royal oats or whatever you want to call it? What do you say to those people who say, because you don't know anything else, temptation might be even more than if I've played the field, I'm ready to settle down?
You know, I speak from a very privileged place because I feel like my situation and my person is unique.
Sure.
And maybe others would say that it's rare that you can find someone so soon and so early and find love and feel like it's that authentic and that honest and that genuine and this, that, and the fifth. But I mean, I look at couples who say like a Nasty C and a Sammy or, you know, Shane Eagle and his partner. It's possible to find love young. And it's possible to grow in love, even when you grow independently.
Sure.
Right? It is possible. There will be challenges.
Sure.
And it won't be void of those challenges.
How do you guys deal with the trust issues and the temptations that plague our industry, especially.
Mm. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Mm.
Absolutely, you will be tried and tested.
Mm.
But again, I think for him and I, because very early on we established the fact that we could have the difficult conversations and we could say, Horesh, yeah, I had this kind of encounter and this happened.
Sure.
How does it make you feel?
Mm.
I know you don't want to hear this.
Mm.
It may not be nice to hear, but I just feel like I need to tell you because.
So you have those uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember there's an uncomfortable conversation we had in our marriage about if, God forbid, for whatever reason, we are unable to provide conjugal privileges to one another, how would you feel about the other, or would you encourage the other to take a lover?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because for whatever reason, the other can't provide that part of the relationship.
Sure.
Because you're a complete human being.
Absolutely.
And you'd like to have every itch scratched.
Yes.
In inverted commas.
Yeah.
And I remember we had that uncomfortable conversation that, you know, God forbid, if I'm in a wheelchair or you're in a wheelchair or we can't provide conjugals to one another.
Absolutely.
Do you allow a third party to enter the you know, the party
yes.
or not? You know?
That's a conversation we've had.
Mm.
And I think, again...
And how did it go?
There are things that we understand.
Yeah.
There are things that we can't. You know, and then listen, don't think, whoever's listening, that you think you have an opportunity
exactly.
to. It's
exactly.
not that.
Mm.
And we're not saying we're opening up the opportunity of a third party
Absolutely.
Or a third
Absolutely.
Person. We're not saying, well, no, you can go hafuful and go have a good time.
Exactly.
No, it's not that. But it's to say that under certain circumstances, openly, ahead of certain things.
Sure.
Make me understand how and why you feel like you're at this point in your life
exactly.
and why you feel like you need this
so
that I'm able to meet you there.
Exactly.
And I can work through those feelings. But give me the opportunity to make a decision in and around that kind of conversation. Don't rob me of the opportunity to decide whether I want to partake.
Don't volunteer me.
Don't volunteer me. But let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Should we get to that point? And I think it's important because, again, we are people.
Exactly.
And I'm his wife and he is my husband, but he doesn't belong to me. And I treat my daughter the same way. It's like, yeah, but she's my daughter, but she's not mine. And I've said this. So I treat my marriage the same way.
Sure.
And I would hate for him to get to a point in life where he just feels like he wants to take a certain decision. But should he want to, I need to be able to...
Give me a choice to tap out if I need
100%.
To. 100%. Yeah. Which is fair enough.
And where there are people, there are feelings, there are thoughts, there are emotions, and they are ever evolving.
Sure.
And so I need to allow him to evolve and grow in that way. And I would like him to afford me that same opportunity. But the idea is for us to grow together and to keep it together for forever. Yeah.
This sounds like it's turning into a conversation about young love, but it doesn't matter.
I think
there's young couples out there that might learn from you guys.
I think it's important.
Piano Love.
Yeah.
Tell us about that movie.
Oh, wow. So Piano Love, myself, my co-star, Questa.
Yeah. It's out first week of September.
First week of September, so the 6th of September.
Dope.
I know in our initial announcement, we said the release date was going to be the 23rd of August, but it's been pushed a week back. Such an exciting, beautiful story. I remember the first time Mandla in of Black Brain had called me in and he said, listen, this is what I see, this is what I envision, and I see you and Questa doing it.
You know what the weird thing is? I can literally see Mandla saying that to you.
Mamela.
And the way he speaks.
Yeah, you know him.
I can see him.
Very passionate. And he's like, trust me.
Yeah.
And I was like, Mandla Zhuang.
Yeah.
Does he? And when I thought about my one, I felt like I was completely out of whack.
Sure.
And because I hadn't exercised my acting muscle in years.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but I didn't think I was capable. But you know, when you've just lost, when you haven't, again, exercised that muscle, you just feel like you're not sure if you can do it.
Exactly.
But hey, let's trust. Let's free fall and let's see where we land. And so he said, Questa. And I was like,
can
okay.
Can he act?
Can he act?
Yeah.
But okay. Then we did a chemistry test.
Yeah.
And I said, okay.
Yeah, he can act.
I see you.
Yeah.
I see you. Madman, Mandla, but a visionary.
He's like a mad scientist.
Absolutely.
Even when he explains, like he gives direction as a director.
Absolutely.
Because I've seen him at work.
Sure.
And he's like this mad scientist, hip hop video producer making movies. that's his passion.
Yeah. But it's an incredible story. It's a beautiful story. Yeah. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised at... really at the performances, number one. Mm. But again, it's a beautiful story. And, you know, without giving away too much, of course, there's love, there's some drama in it, there's some action. Mm-hmm. But at the heart of it, music, and there's also dance.
Sure.
And how these kind, and how these two kind of interact and how we kind of bring each other back to life.
Oh, yes.
In love, but also in art and in music and in expression.
So who needs to watch Piano Love?
Every single person.
Yeah.
Anyone who cares about love, anyone who cares about action, anyone who cares about drama, but anyone who cares about South African music, South African culture, South African dance, music culture, through the lens of Amapiano.
Ah, yes.
You know, so it is a play on that, piano love, Amapiano, you know, and but it's not just that, because the world of hip-hop is also in there. But again, you know, just anyone who has a pulse needs to watch Piano Love. They'll love it for sure.
So when you read the script, do you sit with hubby and say, share with him what's going on? Or is it a case of, oh, you'll see it in the movies?
No. So I read the script. I read the script.
Yeah.
And I think I needed to be on the lookout for where our relationship was concerned. I needed to see, for me, how much intimacy there was between the love interests and me going back to my husband and saying, all right.
Yeah.
How
much bum are you comfortable with?
What are you comfortable with? What are you not comfortable with? How far can we take it?
Yeah.
And but we had to have that conversation, of course.
And how did
to
that
say,
go?
This is... So... I said, okay, so this is the script. Mm. This is what's most likely to happen between these two lovers.
Sure.
How do you feel about this?
Mm.
What is a no-go zone?
Mm.
I'll let you know how I feel and what I'm willing to do and how far I'm willing to go.
Mm.
And yeah, so I had that conversation with him first before Questa and I had the conversation.
Sure.
So us, we had to have the conversation too to say, look, we're going in real time and in real life, we have real marriages and real families. Mm. How do we respectfully honor the story, but also respect our families and each other at the same time? And so I think we set the ground rules very early on. Mm. But it was such a respectful space as well. Questa's, Senzo's very, very respectful.
He's a dope dude.
He's such a dope dude.
Yeah.
He's so cool, calm, and collected. Mm. And we spent very little time together on set. We would only, like, during lunch, he's really in his own corner.
Sure.
Just really, just, I guess, as well, if this is your debut and you've never done something like this, you're really trying to, I can imagine you're not trying to lose yourself in whatever
Absolutely.
Other noise is happening, but you're really trying to keep centered.
Yes.
And so, because we're also engaging our arts and we're bringing elements of our true and real selves into these stories to make it true and real to the characters and to the story, you know, you don't want a lot of noise around you. So we'd meet often on set and then we'd speak and then, you know, just, the performances were quite honest and quite beautiful. So, yeah.
Did you do any shoots early in the morning?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so, late at night. So we do AMs.
I'm not worried about later. Just early in the morning. I'm sure Questa's voice is so deep. No one can hear him. No one can hear him.
It's not possible to hear it five times deeper. And it is. If you didn't think it could go five times deeper.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Now you guys must wait for him. Like, my man, talk for an hour. So you just move there.
Look up the warm up. Look up the ginger. Leave it at your song.
Exactly.
But he's great, though. Yeah. Such good people.
Listen, man, I invited you here just so we could have a quick catch-up.
Thank you so
and
much.
And also just to say to you, you kick butt.
Oh, thank you.
Been a fan of your work since 5-6 years ago and I interviewed you first.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to see you growing incrementally all the time.
Thank you so much.
And for me, I need you to personally say to Ma, thank you. Because I think she has raised powerhouses of women. And if half of us raising girls do half the work she did, I think we'll be fine.
Oh, thank you.
So please shout out to Ma.
I will. Ma, you heard it, ne? Okay.
Oh yeah, Ma's watching. Yes,
she's watching.
Shout out to you, Ma. What is it? They say a bar. How we must
no pressure.
We meet this bar and raise powerhouses like these. But shout out, man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
And tell hubby, shout out to him. I love him also.
I know.
I think he's cool people.
Thank you so much.
So yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I've been wanting to come.
We'll see you at
so
the
thank
top.
You for having me.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Ma Afrika is about to leave the building.